Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we say hello to you on a Monday. Yes, we made it through the snow and the weekend and the NFL games to start another week, the final week of January. So put on your seatbelt and let's get rolling right here on a Monday afternoon. What about that? What's going on? Auburn Tigers, number one in that's not football. That's basketball. Remember a week ago, everyone was upset. Some guy in Kansas City voted them ninth, but after shredding Kentucky Saturday afternoon, there was no doubt and a very happy Bruce Pearl in the aftermath.
Look at the kids. I mean, look at our students. Look at our players. And Gary, that's what it's all about right there. And what I'm so excited about is I know this happens in North Carolina. I know what happens in Kansas and other places. This is happening in Auburn, Alabama. We're a football school, but we're also an everything school.
Wow. Are they ever? Meanwhile, what's going on with one of the greatest weekends in sports history, and it did not involve college football. But it did have a couple of guys that we're familiar with. How about Joe Burrow, Debo? Why is Debo such a big star now that Will Muschamp's no longer his coach? And if you were here on Friday afternoon, I hope you were, I know we were, George Kliakoff made his first appearance on the program. He is the Pac-12 commissioner, and he made a lot of news. News everywhere about what he had to say about the NIL and the Rose Bowl.
The fans were misled. They were basically shown a format in June that did not have the approval of all the people that needed to approve it. And for me, that was a mistake. And I think it misled the fans and it misled the media. And I hope we don't ever do that again. It's a self-inflicted wound. I was in the meeting in June, and literally, you found out about the format a couple hours after I found out about it.
Meanwhile, Jim Phillips, he's the commissioner of the ACC. What's he trying to do? A lot of people are blaming him for sabotaging the CFP. Andy Staples has some opinions on that, and he'll share them with all of you later on. And Cecil Hurt, our great friend, the legendary columnist from Tuscaloosa, will be formally inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame later this year. He was a unanimous selection. Today's guest, Jimmy Burrow, dad of Joe. Remember when Jimmy used to join us all the time during the LSU championship season? Scott Rabelais will get his take on the world. And Andy Staples from The Athletic. And we welcome you all. Well, you didn't you go anywhere, but we welcome you back so we can take some phone calls here at 855-242-7285. We start in Alabama with Robert. Robert, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Robert, we are doing great. Thank you.
It's good to hear from you again. You and I know each other, of course. And
I recognize his voice anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I called up early because I heard Hal Raines the other day, and what he said really bothered me.
Okay.
I like Hal. He's a wonderful writer and a smart man. But he basically said that Nick Saban was on the side of the Angels and needed to be the conscience of Alabama. And in this case, it's just so far off. Coach Saban, and I cannot understand why he did it, but he supported a bill that I would basically call it pro voter fraud. And I have covered voter fraud. I was a newspaper reporter, as you remember.
And a great one, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Well.
I covered voter fraud in West Alabama and in Greene and Hale counties in the 90s and in the 2000s. The crux of voter fraud is when voting gets taken out of the polling place. And that is what this bill aims to do. But once it's taken out of the polling place, voters themselves are open to two things. One is intimidation, and two is bribery. And I covered cases in Greene and Hale counties where both were common. There's been this mantra that there's really no voter fraud. Well, that's not true. There were people convicted in both of those cases, and they were convicted of lesser charges than they actually committed. But I also think Howell was really disingenuous when he said, hey, I'm not supporting Coach Saban because he's on my side. Well, I think that's exactly why he supported him. I think he was patting him on the back for supporting something that Howell supports and the left wing of this country supports. I think if Coach Saban had been following his conscience as a professing Catholic and spoken out against abortion, I don't think Howell would have been on the phone patting him on the back.
Hey, Robert, let me ask you this, though, because I did ask Hal, but, you know, Hal was there when Bryant was the coach. You've been in Tuscaloosa and worked for that newspaper there for a long time. If you had to wager a guess why you think Nick Saban chimed in on this issue, where would you land?
I really, and I know you find this hard to believe, but I really do think it's recruiting.
Okay.
And I think it's the same reason. I think the only reason he would come out and do this is recruiting. And when he, you know, as a recruiter, is put in a position of sitting down in the living room of mostly black athletes.
Sure.
And their parents are mostly Democratic. And their parents are mostly... are often very much influenced by black leaders who support this legislation. And it gives him, I think it gives him a sailing point on his own personal self. I can identify with, you know, that would be the only reason I would think he would do it. Because there's been a lot of issues in this country. And this one is one that is very clearly a bad choice. And the only reason I can think that he did it would be that, and I can't, that it's probably wrong of me to, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, but it's probably wrong of me to suggest somebody's motivation when I really don't know them. But
if it wasn't that, I can't think of any other reason why Nick Saban would veer off from a position of nonpartisanship on just about every other issue and chime in. So he is.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Forget the Hal Raines part of the conversation. And even then, I wonder. It was obviously preemptive. I have a hard time believing. Until recently, this was something being discussed constantly in recruits' homes. Hey, Robert, great to have you on. Great, good to talk to you again. Hope to see you one of these days. We are heading to a break. We are going to continue with your phone calls. Also, we're going to talk about the weekend in the NFL with the father of one of the stars, Jimmy Burrow, joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, the championship games are set in the NFL and some big surprises. One of the great stories has been following Joe Burrow again. We were with him all the way in 2019 and throughout that season. You may remember we talked to his dad, Jimmy Burrow, the former coach. Jimmy joining us now. Jimmy, first of all, it's great to have you back on the program. I can only imagine what this past weekend has been like for you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. It was unreal. It's still overwhelming at times, but we're my wife and I, Robin, we're loving every minute of it, and many of my family members and friends are at the games too. So it's a great time right now.
Usually, when your son gets chosen first in the draft, it takes a while to make it to the league championship game, but. Joe Burrow and the Bengals did not waste any time. Just going back to his first snap in the pros to where we are, you're a coach. You know how tough it is. How mm-hmm. What has this odyssey been like for all of you?
It's really crazy, and the only person not surprised by how fast it's happening is Joe. But that's just his confidence. He came in. He started playing well, really, the very first game against the Chargers, and those 2 years at LSU really prepared him for what he was getting into in the NFL. But since I retired right before that 2019 season, I've just been enjoying going to every game. This is my wife and I. This last playoff game was our 18th. Of the season. We didn't go to Cleveland because he didn't play, and we'll be in Kansas City, so all is good.
Jimmy, I'm sure you being a father and a coach, you understand the difficulties of it, but Saturday, I was wondering, just as a fan, how he was able to get up after, what's it like as a dad to watch?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a brutal game, as you well know.
Well, we've never really worried about Joe getting hurt. His mom comments on that a lot of times. And last year, after the significant injury, it does enter our minds more than it ever has. But we also know it's a rough game. Sacks going to happen. Joe had told me that they had a great pass rush, and it wasn't going to be easy. So. There are times we kind of maybe wish it wasn't happening, hold our breath, but it just comes with a territory and being an NFL quarterback.
As someone who's coached, I'm just curious because we obviously spend most of our time here talking about the college game.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different just from an observational standpoint? Other than these games seem to at least lately. Seem to take everyone's breath away. What would you say are the biggest differences?
I think one is the parity, I saw somebody today say it was the competitive balance where every single game you can lose, whether you're at the top of the standings or at the bottom, and then you're playing as a quarterback, you're playing 11 guys on defense. There's usually not a weak link. They're all great athletes. To be in the NFL, and then Joe, he comments all the time about you just see more complex coverages and defensive schemes because, you know, there's no recruiting. That's all those guys do during the course of the week is prepare for that next game. So, you know, I think that's the big difference. And as a defensive coach, trying to contain all these weapons that these guys had, just like Joe and his three receivers. But, you know, everybody has those kind of guys. So as defensive coach, it's just it's hard to put your arms around exactly what to do and how to defend those people.
Jimmy, so you win the game Saturday late afternoon in Nashville. So Sunday is a day of just catching up. But I would be interested in just your emotions watching this game last night, which between the Bills and the Chiefs, which, you know, many are describing as possibly the greatest game we've ever seen. Certainly it was the most exciting I've ever seen.
Right. A lot of people want to know who we preferred to play or who Joe preferred to play. And, you know, we had talked about it, and it didn't really – there was no preference. I mean, they're great teams, great quarterbacks, great coaches. But I was a little anxious to see and to watch what was going on. I'd try to watch it from a defensive coach to see what was going on more so maybe on the defensive side of both teams. And nothing was working, as you saw. So that made it tough because both of those teams have good defenses. I think Buffalo's number one in the NFL. So there was emotion to just see what Joe was going to be up against and where we're going to go. I mean, a lot of plans have to be made. We had so many friends and family that try to go to every game, and do we get we drive to most games, but you know, we're going to fly to Kansas City. We could have driven to Buffalo. So as parents, you know, all that's going through our mind too. Beside the fact we're worried about who Joe's going to be going up against.
Yeah, as a DC, I mean, it's easy for me to say like what in the world was going on last night, but how would you characterize, because it just didn't seem like anybody could stop anybody.
I think as the game progressed, those guys on defense, I mean, it's understandable. You get tired, and you know maybe the pass rush isn't quite what it was earlier. And the quarterbacks and the offensive coordinators get dialed in, and the escapability of those two guys, those two quarterbacks, to extend plays is just unreal. And you know, again, I watch, and they were changing things up. Didn't seem to be a whole lot of blitzing. Those great quarterbacks, it's hard to blitz. You usually it's a fast death, so to speak, on a all-out blitz, as opposed to playing soft and zone and some man-to-man. But just a tough matchup with those guys on the Buffalo's offense and the Chiefs' offense. And it all starts with those two quarterbacks.
Jimmy, finally, you mentioned it a minute ago, and I guess for us, it's we're just all interested in how a father of a star player handles it. So the game ends. It's an exhausting game. What other than catching your breath? I mean, you said you mentioned travel plans. Do you immediately jump on that?
Well, we normally have a plan, but you know, we had to wait till last night. But we had, again, so many friends and family that were at the game, and so we had our own tailgate before, and we met up after the game. We never see Joe, especially on the away games, because there's no way the bus is underneath, and with COVID protocol and those type things, you just can't meet up with them. I will say I called Joe, which I normally don't do because I know he won't answer, and he actually answered in the locker room. I was just going to leave a message. I was overwhelmed with that, and his mom was right there, so that was fun. And then we just went out in Nashville. A lot of the people that were there spent the night, took our time the next morning, headed back. Cincinnati's on the way between Nashville and Athens, Ohio, so we did get to stop in just to make sure Joe was okay. And then today's been a lot. I think you're my third or fourth thing going on today with media. So, you know, everybody's interested in the Bengals now. So that's a good thing. But also spend most of the day trying to organize tickets, which are hard to come by, even for, you know, players, families and travel plans, hotels, all those type things. It's a full-time job. That's why I retired, right?
Well, I tell you what, Jimmy, it's a full-time job. A lot of us envy, because how much fun would that be to be getting tickets to the AFC Championship game as a dad?
Well, my mom, Joe's mom, Robin, even better today. She gets pretty exhausted. She's a principal, works all week, and then goes to the games and usually rolls out of here very early in the morning. But she got a snow day, and she had three snow days last week. So, you know, it's a good thing when you have a weekend like that and when she gets to stay home.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, listen, we're also proud to be watching this story across the country. And you guys enjoy Saturday in Kansas City. We'll all be watching. Thanks so much for the time.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Jimmy Burrow, the father of Joe Burrow. We talked to him throughout the 2019 season, and his son is one game away from the Super Bowl. We will take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. It is great to have all of you with us. Let's continue. Daryl is up next. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. Hey, that was a great interview with Joe Burrow's dad. I thought that was pretty awesome. I mean, can't imagine what it'd be like. You know, yeah, great NFL games this weekend. I mean, that's not the greatest, though. I mean, none of them, the greatest game Paul was played a couple of weeks ago on Monday night. You know what I mean? And you would think by now that everybody would have come to grips on what happened in that football game. But it seems like, I mean, it just amazes me how we still got some Alabama fans out there that still want to claim to be the greatest. And now that Jermaine Burton got the transfer portal and is signed with Alabama, they go on social media claiming, well, he's coming to Alabama because he wants to play in the NFL, and you can't play in the NFL and be a receiver at Georgia, which is a bunch of friggin' hogwash. Let me ask you this. It doesn't matter what school you go to, okay, right? I mean, if you got NFL talent, it doesn't matter what school you go to.
Hey, Daryl, do you have any idea why he went to Alabama? I mean, he was already pretty doing really well at Georgia.
Well, I'll tell you like this, Paul. He's got a track record. He went to like four different high schools.
Oh, okay.
I think he originally committed to LSU. Then he changed his mind. He went to Georgia. And here was the deal. Him and Kerris Jackson were the starting receivers at one time. They got beat out by freshmen. That's what happened. And this guy, obviously, he just when he gets beat out, I mean, he wants to jump ship and go somewhere else.
You don't think he'd rather play pitch and catch with Bryce Young than over Stetson Bennett?
Well, I mean, if you want, let me ask you this. Jerry Rice is the greatest NFL receiver to ever play in the NFL. Where did he go to school?
He went to Mississippi
Valley State. Absolutely. You look at the top five receivers this year in the NFL. The top receiver went to Eastern Washington. The other one went to Alabama, but not University of Alabama. Went to West Alabama, Toledo, Fresno State. LSU had one in there. But no Alabama receivers. I mean, they put some good receivers in the NFL, but it ain't like, you know, I read an article, SI.com did last year on wide receivers in the NFL per the colleges, and Clemson was number one. Alabama was four. Georgia was fifth. So for them to sit there and get on social media and claim that that kid is going to Alabama.
Why are you bothered by what some...
I'm bothered by it, Paul, because they just cannot accept the fact that they got beat. They always want to claim to be the greatest at something, and they don't go out there and they don't look at the facts, and they go on social media and they bump their guns and run their mouth. They have no idea what they're talking about. Right now in the NFL, Alabama has 8 wide receivers in the NFL right now. Georgia has 7. Whoop. Be-do. You know what I mean? That's what bothers me. And they still making excuses, talking about Georgia had a friggin'
Daryl, who exactly is making excuses out there?
All these Alabama fans, Paul. I mean, they're out there on social media, on Twitter. Okay. I'm running their mouth on Jermaine Bird and talking about just slamming
I guess I need to know where to look for these Alabama fans, because the ones I talk to are pretty realistic.
Well, I would like to say the same thing, but and there are some like that, but those on social media are not realistic. And I look at some of their profiles, and they're in Tuscaloosa, but they're probably students. Who knows? But I will say this about the NFL playoff. You know who I'm pulling for the rest of the way. And it's got to be the Rams, and it's got to be Matt Stafford, who was phenomenal yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just absolutely a great game. But these NFL playoff games they have been absolutely epic, absolutely epic. But I don't see any Alabama quarterbacks around anywhere. You know what I mean? I mean, where are you at, Alabama? Where's all your quarterbacks at? Matt Stafford's there. Rams are going to win the Super Bowl, Paul. Write it down. I said it. Go Dawgs. See ya.
Okay. Jim is next. Hey, Jim.
I just got to say, Paul, you know, I've heard Daryl for 10 years never give credit to Alabama, never do nothing but where's your crybaby in the background? Where is it? Why? Where is that, Paul? I don't hear it. Let me hear that. Yeah, that's Dale. Hey, Dale. Yeah, Dale. How you doing, buddy? Hey, you ain't never give Alabama credit. Now you over there talking about you ain't getting no credit. Hey, you right, Paul. You know what the deal is, Paul. Anybody in their right mind would rather catch the ball from Bryce Young.
Of course.
I mean,
Jim, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Well, I would think so, Paul. I'm the one talking about it. Yeah, it makes sense. You know it makes sense.
How Daryl tried to trash this guy's reputation because he left Georgia for Alabama.
Wait till he sees who else is coming.
I mean, look, the guy, Burton looked pretty good 2 weeks ago tonight. He had a couple of catches. I didn't hear Daryl trashing his catches
game. Did you hear the joke about Saban? Jeff told me this on private call this morning.
No.
He said Saban was saw Ryan Day, somewhere, and he said, hey, can we get any more down here? Can we get any more of your second team quarterback receivers? Talking about James. You gotta love it.
That is great. Well, I'm glad to hear you straighten out Daryl. I was hoping someone.
Yeah,
would.
Well, he needed straighten out. He's been putting Alabama fans down every year. Never give. Did you? Hey, Paul, did you ever hear Daryl give Alabama any credit?
No.
Okay. Well, what a hypocrite. That just. I like Daryl. I always have like. We were talking. Me and Jeff were talking about. We like Daryl. He speaks out. He speaks his mind. But don't give me no double talk. That's what he just did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Thanks a lot.
Well done. Jim delivers a KO on the program. Joe is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a comment and then a short Paul Brandt, Bear Bryant story, if you don't mind.
No, not
first,
at all.
I want to compliment you on the Hal Raines interview Friday. It might have been the best thing I've heard in a long time, and from a very influential person who has in-depth knowledge of what he speaks. I thought when you interviewed him, I'm 82, so I talked to the television. I guess that's okay.
That's great. I do too.
Yeah, and after you had that interview with him, I told the people who were in the room with me, my dog, that the re-education of Paul Feinbaum is going to begin right now. And I knew that you had stirred the water, but I appreciate that so much. And the comment is that I'm sorry we've arrived at a place where we can't have, can't hold an opposing opinion and value somebody else's point of view. And I'm sorry that we're there, but we have arrived at that place. But I listen all the time, and the story I want to talk to you about, I'm a Tennessee alumnus. I was there before you, so I lived in Ayers Hall just about.
Oh, did you?
I would go over the hill to sit in the stadium to study, because you could get in kneeling in those days. You remember there was no end zone, and you just walked down the hill to sit in the stadium. Well, I was there when they put in AstroTurf. And I wanted to see that. I had worked for the L&N and worked in construction. I thought, well, this would be a great thing to see. So I went over there, and they spent a long time on that and watched all of that go on. But the story is, and the funny thing was, that all the time that that was going on, there was a controversy on campus about who's going to tell Coach Bryant that he couldn't smoke. If you remember, AstroTurf burns just like instantly. I mean, it burned a big hole in it. And so when Alabama played Tennessee that year, the whole student body spent time trying to figure out what Barry was going to do with his cigarette, because I knew nobody was going to tell him he couldn't smoke. Well, of course, they had figured out. They had a little guy running around with a tin can, and I mean, it was comical. But that's the story, about Barry. The other thing is, about while I was over there, I have seen difficult practices over the years, football and basketball and everything. But until you saw Jay Julian send his band through their exercises, haven't seen a tough practice. So, but
he was a legendary figure, the director of the Pride of the Southland band, yes.
Well, they put on a show every time that the Circle Drill was that meant one of the great halftime shows of all time. Tennessee fans never left the stadium at halftime. They went and got Coke some other time because they wanted to see the band march. And still, as you know, when the band comes into the stadium before the game, there are as many people outside the stadium watching the band march in as there are already in the stadium. But thank you for putting Hal on, and thank you for allowing an opposing point of view. And as an educator myself, I'm glad you have friends out there who think it's their job to call you and just get you straightened out now about what the truth is.
Well, Joe, what a pleasure it is and will be. And hopefully we can talk again. Thank you very, very much. Up against the break right now, we are coming back with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And Legend is up next. Good afternoon.
What's up, Paul Feinbaum? What's up, brother?
Legend, how are you?
NWO, baby, Black Hat Crew in the house. Woo! East Coast, baby. East Coast. Deal with some of that East Coast SmackDown coming up in here. NWO, like.
Absolutely.
Yo, Paul, you got the NWO on your show. Me, Jim, and Jeff from Ohio. Then you have these yellow hatters. Daryl, I-Man, Groundhog. The artist formerly known as Squirrel. And the little pony rider, the 15-year-old Matt from San Antonio. The yellow hatters, Paul. And here you got the biggest yellow hatter at all, who called me a liar last week because I missed the Alabama prediction. I guess that would make him a liar for about 7 years, wouldn't it, Paul?
Correct.
Correct is right. Coming in here whining and crying. This is why I call the Georgia Bulldogs the Democratic Party, Paul. If ever you heard Nancy Pelosi speak, You just heard the male version of it in Daryl. And at the end, you're thinking, what the hell did I just hear? That's the Georgia Bulldogs, the Democratic Party, a one-term party who clearly don't belong in the seat of power and won't be back in for 40 years. The Georgia Bulldogs, Paul. Why did Burton jump ship? It's plain. They're a shooting star. They're the Colorado Rockies, Paul. They don't belong in the seat of a champion. Everybody will look back and say, Georgia should have sent a gift basket to Alabama and Nick Saban for copying everything they did for the last 15 years and finally figured out how to be a mini Alabama and win one championship in a lifetime. The Democratic Party, Nancy friggin' Pelosi, Paul. That's what it is. NWO, Black Hat Crew in the house, calling it like it is. You don't belong in the top seat, Georgia. You accidentally got in there by copying us. You won't be back in there for 40 years. And the reason you crying and bitching now is we can go to Georgia and get any friggin' player we want because we are the king. We are the Black Hat Club. Alabama, baby. We are the NWO. Love you, Paul. Peace out.
Legend out. Red Dog is next.
What a retard. I mean, what an idiot. NWO, let me tell you something. Jermaine Burton caught two passes in the national championship game. He was a nuisance in Athens. Kirby didn't want him. He's a loser. So he can go over to Alabama. And last time I checked, Ledger, we won the national championship 13 days ago. Whether you like it or not, we kicked y'all's butt. We beat y'all by 15 points. Your Heisman quarterback, we intercepted him twice. We put him on his butt five times. How's he going to throw the ball when he's on his butt five times? You know, you can sit there and say, let's talk about copycat. Did you see where Kirby Smart went Wednesday? He went to see Arch Manning play basketball. Well, guess who went to see him Saturday with ESPN crews to document he went there? Nick Saban. He's getting old. He's copying Kirby's moves. Whether Legend likes it. He can sit there and say East Coast, NWO, whatever. He's a total retard who spent more time behind bars than anybody we know. We're the national champions. National champions. It's not 40 years ago. It's 13 days ago. And when I saw all those Alabama players walking off the field crying, they didn't give us anything. We took it. We absolutely take it. And we'll see them next year in the national or in the SEC championship. And I don't even know if they can get by Texas A&M. Go Dogs.
There you go. Eddie is up next. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, my man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, you just had two of the biggest loser Georgia fans to ever call your show. And they got the audacity to call my man Legend Losers. What are these guys talking about, Paul? You hit it on the head. You know why they got transferred. Because he want to play with Bryce Young. And this clown who just got off the phone with you saying that he only caught four passes. Well, when Williams played us in the championship for Ohio State, Paul, I think Williams caught one pass or two passes. But how many did he catch from Bryce Young? So it doesn't work that way, Red Dirt. Talking about, man. Hey, Paul, why is all these guys, Caucasian males pretty much, calling you about Nick Saban signing a memo, Paul? What is going on with that? What is going on? Let me say this, Paul. They talking about he's doing it for recruiting? What else do you have calling your show? Do they know how smart Nick Saban is, Paul? He's doing this for recruiting. You tell me, Paul, when was the last time Nick Saban had a freaking problem recruiting? Tell me. Can somebody tell me?
Probably when he was at Michigan State.
Hey, Paul, if he was going to be there another 10, 12 years, it might make a little sense. Or if Kirby Smart did it, you can say it was for recruiting. But we are ranked the second recruiting behind Texas A&M, who never, ever finished first. And I wonder how they finished first this year. And we ain't going to have no problem with
that. Thanks, Eddie. Coming back with three more hours. Stick around.